Now, some of us tend to be kind of snarky and rude, and I'll tell you, you got a new spirit now. People tell me, I can't change. I've always been that way. Well, guess why Jesus died? He died to change us, to give us a new spirit and a new love. And he says in his word that we should be kind. Ephesians 4:32 is a verse. Can we turn me down just a little, Mike? I'm really ringing up here and it feels awkward to me. Thank you very much. Ephesians 4:32 says these words, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so that's kind of the theme verse of today, that we would be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another. We'll look a little bit at things that make it difficult to be kind, but that's the admonition. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, in Titus 3:5, and I really appreciate Willie June and I talked about this message yesterday, and some of these scriptures came out of our conversation. In Titus 3, verses 4 through 6, listen to these words talking about the source of kindness. Okay? And by the way, do you remember in Galatians chapter 5 where it says the fruit of the Spirit is? Thank you, joy. That's right. But right in the middle was peace, patience, and kindness. And I actually would like to commit to you and submit to you that kindness kind of encapsulates a lot of these words that Joy just responded to from Galatians chapter 5. By the way, I feel like God is teaching me in my sermon writing. And so today doesn't follow any pattern, but I hope I'm learning. And I hope to be specific enough that when you walk out of here, you have the idea that it's your responsibility, because the Spirit of God lives in you, to be kind. Because kindness often breeds humility in others. If you do an act of kindness towards somebody else, it tends to humble the other person, which enriches your relationship with that person. There's a lot of benefits to being kind in any venue that you're in. So in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, it says this, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, so it's nothing that we did that deserved his kindness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so a quality of kindness is mercy. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. Now that verse is a marvelous verse talking about our salvation and how we come to Christ. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. So there's nothing we can do. We can't get better to be saved. But I am pointing out in this verse the fact that it says when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared toward man, pointing at the source of kindness, that it is in his nature to be kind. Now, there's a lot of things in God's nature, but it is, we are made in the image of God, and it is God's nature to be kind. I'd like to say also that kindness is not just seen in Christians, right? Everybody is made in the image of God. Not everybody is saved, not everybody has believed, but being made in the image of God, we see lots of acts of kindness by both believers and unbelievers. We happen to have, because of our faith and trust in Christ, we happen to have the Spirit of God, which should urge us to be kind even in a supernatural way. But I want you to see that the source of kindness is God, okay? Secondly, We show kindness not because the recipient deserves it. Okay, this is a hard one. Well, if they deserve it, I'll be kind. That's not what God shows. God shows, what's that, Mark?
You weren't deserving.
That's right. That's right. Show kindness not because the recipient deserves it. In Nehemiah, there's this teaching about the people of Israel, and it says they refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. The next slide says, but you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. And so we see another quality of God's kindness toward people, toward his people. And the lesson here is we're showing kindness not because the recipient deserves it. So there have been times where you've thought about being kind to that person, but you thought, nah, they don't deserve it. Well, God calls us up to be kind. And then kindness yields humility. And oftentimes it can heal in relationships. Kindness, in the next slide, kindness is not dependent upon their response. So when we do something kind for somebody, we expect them to say, thank you, that was so nice of you. Like we need a little pat on the back for our kindness. And is it wrong to be grateful and to give thanks if somebody does something kind? No, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. We need that affirmation along the way. But kindness is not dependent upon the people's response. So again, we are called up to be kind to other people because that's who by nature we are as a Christ follower. Okay, so these verses, Psalm 36 says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. See the humility working there as people see the loving kindness of God. In Psalm 69, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. So just really significant things that we are kind because it's in it's the nature of God and that God is kind and that he has saved us. We are now part of his family. We're now part of this family. And he wants, as Ephesians says, be tenderhearted and kind to one another. And so there's this issue of kindness. So this virtue is stretched every day in my life. There are times where I am just not kind. Now, the ones who see it most are the ones in my family. And the one who sees it most is my wife, who's, now that most of our kids are gone, she sees it. Does it let you off the hook if you're tired? Or you're stressed? Or? We still have the responsibility to be ye kind one to another. I'd like to suggest this. God, in his nature and image, is kind. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, talking to us, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So he says, therefore, be imitators of God. And I am directly applying this idea of imitating God in God's kindness, in God's mercy, in God's tenderheartedness toward us. God calls us to be kind. So, you know, the application of this message is to search your heart and to say, how is that evident in my life? Do people see kindness in me? You know, one of the things that Willie June said yesterday that I appreciated was, it doesn't mean that we don't do the hard stuff. We just do it in a kind way or an appropriate way along the way. What I'd like to do is go to Colossians 3 now. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, turn to Colossians 3. And I want to suggest a few things about our relationship to God and our relationship to each other and how that relationship unfolds, okay? So in Colossians 3, it's, you've heard it so many times in your life, but I want to focus on the issue of kindness. And let me just begin. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, are you? Yes, okay, we're Christians. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, by the way, Paul, in this book of Colossians in chapter 3, is going to list things of the earth and things of heaven, things of Christ. He's going to make these two lists, and he's going to say, put away these, take on these. Put off these, put on these. Put to death these things, live to do these things. Okay? So he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when did you die in this case? When you accepted Jesus, you put to death the old man, and you were made in newness of life. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. So the old things are put away. We're growing in them, but the old things are put away. Behold, all things have become new. So the verse says, for you died, verse 3, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And that's just a promise to look forward to. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And there's this list. Put to death stuff like fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's just a dark list. We're not going to spend much time talking about that. Because of these kind of things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. By the way, you need to know that God is a just God. And if people will not turn to Christ and not put away those things, then it says people like that have something to fear because there is wrath coming. And he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. We have a past. We have a sinful past. We used to walk that way, but we don't walk that way what? Anymore, right? Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put these things off. And I would like for you to see a contrast between this next list and the following list, which you'll see. But just compare it to kindness, okay? I'm not going to have time to go through each of these words, but it's interesting how anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy language. We're going to actually look at that, but blasphemy is basically God declaring who he is, and you're saying, no, you're not. It's giving credit. In the Bible example, it's giving credit to Satan for what God has done, or discrediting God along the way. Good question. So he says, but now you yourselves are to put these things off. Now, he is talking to an audience of believers here. So he knows we might struggle with this kind of stuff. So he says, you yourselves now put off these things. Put off anger. And we'll try to look a little at that. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. By the way, do you have trouble putting these things away? If you do, give them to God. Call on God. God, help me with my tongue. God, help me with my thoughts. God, help me with my heart. Lord, I need your help to be able to be loving and tender-hearted and kind toward the people around me. That's a personal testimony. Do not lie to one another. It means don't tell lies. Don't lie to your wife, your husband, your kids. Talk the truth. You can speak the truth. Romans 15 says, speak the truth in love. Sometimes people say, well, it's just the truth and you got to deal with it. Well, that's not speaking the, sorry, Logan. That's not speaking the truth in, sit in the front row, yeah. Speaking the truth in love, but you still speak the truth. You do the hard things, but you do them with kindness. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. By the way, what can you do if you lie to someone? Own it. Say, I please forgive me, I lied to you. That's a really hard thing to do. Right, very good. Apologize and then correct it. Please forgive me. You think, well, man, if I have confessed that to somebody, they're just going to write me off. They're never going to talk to me again. But what happens when somebody confesses? There's a tenderness. There's a tenderness, and it's like, you know, there may be some hurt to get over, but you've apologized now. You've asked forgiveness. You've taken responsibility for that action. Now healing can happen in your relationship. And by the way, there's a whole bunch of relationship with us in this passage. We're the family of God. We have a son of God, a child of God. We're part of the body of Christ, and we need to not only be kind, but go through the process of healing and restoration. We are called to restoration. We just talked about that, how we're called to the ministry of restoration, both with God and with each other. Okay, back to the verse. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. And then he says, and we're all the same. He says, there's no difference between Greek or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised. He says, but in Christ, we are one in Christ. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Now, let me just back up and say in this verse where it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, I want you to see that you're in God's family. If you've trusted Christ, this describes you. Therefore, as the elect, the chosen, the child of God, holy. He sees you holy. He doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as forgiven. So he says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Beloved by who? By God. You are a child of God. He died for you. He lives for you. The Spirit of God lives in you. As a child of God, holy and beloved. And then he says, put on. So earlier in this passage, you saw the list. He said, take off anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Take off. Now he says, put on. And this list of put on tender mercies. By the way, each one of these qualities, tender mercies, kindness, and humility, as you realize what you've been forgiven for, you realize the incredible love of God that he has for you. You realize what you've been forgiven for, how you've been redeemed, the mercy that God has had on you. How does that help you treat others? In the Spirit, it should help you treat others the same way, with mercy and with forgiveness and with tenderheartedness. Those should be the kinds of the fruits of the Spirit that we're seeing in our own life as we interact with others. And you guys, sometimes I just have to step back and say, God, I am really messing up here. I really need to take a step back and say, you know what? I have not been kind. I have not been thoughtful. I have not expressed tender mercy toward the people in my life. And get it right with God. Do the same thing. Apologize. Say, God, please forgive me. And does he? Yeah. And he gives you another chance. He extends his mercy to you again. See, I just think that in the family and in the body of Christ, sometimes we're just a little too snarky and a little too rude and a little too unkind. And what happens there is then we get division between us and we get hard feelings between us and we don't make those things right. And then there's a division, and then there's a lack of intimacy, and then there it just goes on and on. The gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger between family members, between husbands and wives, between church people. So God says, practice this kind of stuff in your life. Practice it regularly. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. So you guys right here, you brothers, you all have brothers of somebody, you guys can practice that at your home with your other little brothers and sisters and people like that. And your parents can put that into practice toward you. They can be kind and tender-hearted and merciful toward you. That's right. It goes both ways. So put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. What's kind of the opposite of humility? Pride, arrogance. Does that ever cause problems in your relationships with people in your house? Pride, arrogance. Yeah. It's interesting. He says, put on humility, put on meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another. You don't have to bear with somebody unless they're being a bear kind of a thing, you know? Bearing with one another. By the way, that's only a fruit of the Spirit. Only the Lord in you can do that kind of thing. Bear with one another. Be patient. Be long-suffering with one another. And then forgiving one another. And you think, well, I can't forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. Well, Jesus or Paul says, forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. That can be hard, right? Very hard. Only when we look at it in light of God's mercy and God's grace, only when we look at it in light of how much we have been forgiven, we've been extended mercy, now we can extend that mercy to someone else. Can you see how a body of Christ who are practicing these kind of things would be a beautiful reflection of Christ and a beautiful kind of I was going to use a negative word, like luring, but almost like a magnetic call to the unbelieving world who out there, they're living this other way, and the body of Christ is forgiving and tender-hearted and compassionate toward one another. Yeah. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That's that agape. That's that unconditional love that God calls us to. And as a result, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Can you see how this would lead to peace? Treating each other this way would lead to peace. Do you ever not have peace in your home? Yeah. So you might step back and say, well, how was I treating? How was I acting? How was I expressing myself? Again, you know, we get tired or impatient or stressed, overwhelmed, and we just think the whole world ought to bend for us, you know? Don't you know how hard I've, you know? I can remember one time we have an Aunt Hazel who was in our lives, and Aunt Hazel never married. Her dad was a pastor. He pastored the little church in Diamond Springs for a while. That's how Willie June met him. And she used to get terrible headaches. Now, that doesn't really fit this category. But her dad, who was a very wonderful Christian man, would say, you know, because she'd be kind of grumpy and had a reason that everybody ought to be patient with her. And he'd say, well, it's not my headache. Now, he wasn't completely unthoughtful, but... yeah. Sometimes we use our condition to be unkind to people around us. And even though we may feel like we need to be nurtured, sometimes we do need help. And maybe when your headache's really hurting, maybe you should say, would you please pray for me? I'm having a really hard time being kind today because I'm in pain, you know, as opposed to just lashing out at somebody. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and that's the body of Christ, and be thankful. It's interesting how having an attitude of thanksgiving also helps an attitude of kindness. And then let the word of Christ, the word of Christ. Now, what is that? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Simmer in it. Be boiled in it, so to speak. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's just a real working together in this passage. I care about you. You care about me. We're working together. And we're not going to get to the passage that talks about judging one another, but oftentimes we kind of stand around and go, you know, kind of in our spirit judging one another, instead of working with one another, being compassionate to one another, being merciful to one another. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Not usually. That's right. Good. So we'll just wrap this up. I'd just like to invite the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing a song of worship. But I just want to ask you a couple of questions as we wrap this up. So I began by asking, do you tend to be kind? First of all, do you know Christ, and is the Spirit of God in you? And if you tend to be kind, great. Praise God. Keep being that way. Keep being tender-hearted, forgiving, and so on. If you tend to struggle with being kind, you know, sometimes it's best just to admit it and say, God, I kind of got in a pattern here, God, of not being kind. And what you do is you confess that to God and say, God, I see how you embody kindness. God made you in his image, and he wants you to respond kindly. You still deal with the hard things, you just do it kindly. And if you find that you struggle with that, just again, say, God, please help me. I want to respond like you respond. I want to be able to have the Holy Spirit guide me in the way I speak. You know, sometimes unkindness doesn't just come out in words. Sometimes it comes out in silence or body language or sneers. Attitude. Unkindness can come out in a lot of ways. And what God is asking us to do is take a little inventory, check how we're doing. I can decide, we can't decide this for each other. This is just kind of between you and God of where you are. That Ephesians 4:32 verse says, and I'm not sure I could quote it. I have to go way back to the first one and open my Bible again. Let me just read it to you, and then we'll sing some praise of worship. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Let's stand together. Father, I thank you that we have the privilege to be in Christ. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you are patient and merciful and tender-hearted and kind toward us. You showed that kindness first in creation, and then you showed it again in salvation when you sent God in the Son to be the Savior of the world. That was the kindness of God that appeared unto men. And Lord, as forgiven ones, we want to forgive others, and we want to extend the kindness that you have shown to us toward others. Lord, help this quality of God this fruit of the Spirit to be seen in our lives. We need your help. Guide us as we worship you in singing in Jesus' name. Amen. God, we are thankful. Grace that flows like a river, overflow in me. That's a really beautiful word picture of what we've been talking about today, that the love of Christ, the kindness of God has appeared toward men, appeared toward me. Help me overflow that kind of grace to others, that kind of kindness to others. Lord, this is one little word that is part of our walk with Christ, but it encapsulates so very much. Lord, help us to put off anger and wrath and malice and all those things that look like unkindness and unforgiveness, and help us to remember the great grace we've been given. Lord, I also pray that as people were thinking about how they speak and how they act to one another in their homes and in the church, I pray, Lord, and I just want to agree with whoever's thinking these kind of thoughts, Lord, help us. Help us that we would be filled with the Spirit and respond in grace and kindness. Thank you. Use us this week, Lord. May you be reflected in our lives. And thank you that you show us mercy and give us second, third, and fourth chances. Lord, we commit ourselves to walk in your light and in your kindness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a Mexico meeting. if you're interested. And one other thing. I can't remember the second thing. God bless you.